Next item, 100.
Amend an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County to extend the Sex Buyers Accountability and Diversion Program through December 31, 2018.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Are you going to kick us off today?
I am, just briefly.
Thanks.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Brian Parman. I'm the commander of East Precinct, and so I'm here today with my team, who's still finding their seats. Want to present an overview of our Sex Buyers Accountability and Diversion Program. At its core, the goal of this program is to use this moment of police contact as a chance to intervene, provide education, and change future behavior. This program is administered through an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County and LifeWorks Northwest, and so we'd like to provide an overview of the program, and we're seeking your approval to extend our existing IGA for an additional year. And I'm here today with Sergeant Mark Georgioff, who oversees the day-to-day operations of our sex trafficking unit, and Kristen Williams from LifeWorks Northwest.
Thank you.
Good morning, council members. As Commander Parman stated, my name is Mark Georgioff, and I am the sergeant with a sergeant with the Portland Police Bureau currently assigned to the Sex Trafficking Unit. The Sex Trafficking Unit is a team that works to combat crimes and victimization caused by sex trafficking, both by bringing accountability to sex buyers and working with victims of the sex industry by collaborating to assist those who cannot escape this personally devastating industry on their own and often need both accountability and resources to survive and thrive in life. One of the key components in the effort to combat sex trafficking is in the Portland area is the Sexual Buyers Accountability and Diversion Program, more commonly known as SBAD. I'm here today with Kristen Williams from LifeWorks Northwest, the organization that operates the New Options for Women's program and designed for women attempting to transition out of the sex industry lifestyle, and which cooperatively with PPB runs the SBAD program. Kristen and I both firmly believe the continued funding of this program agreement is essential to reduce the frequency and impact of the sex buyers have in supporting this victimization industry in the city of Portland. The SBAD program has operated successfully since 2011 and has been attended by several hundred sex buyers during that time. The purpose of this course is to reduce the demand by interrupting the frequency that buyers attempt to purchase sex. This is done by educating persons arrested for the solicitation of prostitution through a classroom setting where they learn about legal, social, and health ramifications of the commercial sex trade. The SBAD program is designed to represent a paradigm shift from solely criminal prosecution to early prevention, rehabilitation of those who solicit prostitution. The program is generally offered for first-time arrested offenders, and if completed, will suffice for any court-ordered accountability otherwise. As a sex trafficking sergeant, I am the designated program manager for the SBAD program. This program is based on an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County and the City of Portland. The county subsequently contracts with LifeWorks Northwest for program coordination and administration and is taught by members from LifeWorks, the PPB Sex Trafficking Unit, and other community and social service partners, as well as a very powerful presentation from a survivor of the sex trafficking industry. All fees generated by the program are shared equal proportions between LifeWorks Northwest, PPB, and the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office. The impact of the program consistently has shown over the years it has been immense in the lives of many sex buyers who have participated in the program. This is reflected in comments made by participants in the follow-up conducted at the end of each course. While not all participants feel the punishment fits the crime, a large percentage feel the class changed their views dramatically about prostitution and commercial sex solicitation and never realize the victimization it creates. Some of these reflections are as follows. This was a very informative class. It is a chance for people to actually learn from their mistakes. It is a great opportunity to think about behaviors and values. If I had access to class within my community, I do not believe that I would have made the choice that I made. This was a great experience. Another, I appreciate each speaker's tone and how they did not come across like I was garbage. The law enforcement aspect was very informative and interesting. The SARC piece made me sick to my stomach and was very powerful, and the survivor piece was heartfelt, emotional, and powerful as well. Overall, a good class. And finally, it was a very well and laid out and presented class. It changed my view of prostitution and left me with some soul searching to do. I believe this class is very beneficial. As you can see by just a small sampling of the many comments received, the impact is immeasurable. The content and context of the course is one that certainly requires sex buyers to think, reflect, evaluate, and oftentimes change their views about prostitution and the victimization it creates for so many. As the process takes place, we strongly believe it prevents buyers from becoming repeat offenders, which ultimately reduces the demand for commercial sexual solicitation, creating much less victimization of those prone to working in the sex industry. It also serves to increase the participants' risk awareness through self-responsibility and motivate changed behaviors. The partnership developed over the years between LifeWorks Northwest and PPB has grown to be an efficient and consistent source of information sharing. The frequent contact about collaborating, serving victims, discussions of changing trends in the industry, and dialogue on the best way to create an impactful SBAD program over continual basis and review is the framework for this successful program and the foundation it's founded upon. The partnership between PPB and LifeWorks is also reflected in other ways. This is illustrated in a nice note Officer Mike Gallagher of the Sex Trafficking Unit received just this past week from a long-term sex trafficking victim whose life he has had dramatic impact on and in conjunction of services from the NOW program. I have presented to you today a copy of the note for your review and highlight a portion from this victim. Quote, "I would still be lost, lonely, and surviving day to day without the NOW program and the efforts of the police department," unquote. This type of impact cannot be made up or replaced if the relationships are lost. These words speak for themselves and are a true testament of the importance of having programs that positively impact both victims and sex buyers. We know that if allowed to continue, the SBAD program will positively impact the lives of many more sex buyers for years to come.
Good morning, Kristen Williams. I was still listening. Kristen Williams with LifeWorks Northwest. Good to be with you all again. And just want to highlight a couple of things. So the SBAD program, it's an eight-hour diversion class, as mentioned. And a couple of other highlights is we only offer this six times a year. In fiscal year 2017, we served 165 sex buyers. Already this fiscal year, we served 102. There's a wait list every class. We are full every class, and so the demand is there. So to combat the issue of sex trafficking, we need to look at the demand, and that is what this class does, and it has really evolved over the years. We have taken feedback over the years from participants and from community partners involved, and we've really adapted and made this from a punitive class. I don't know if speaking on this before years ago, it was more of a punitive class, and now it's more of an educational collaborative experience for these sex purchasers as a diversion, really to educate as a prevention tool so they don't go out and recidivate and do this again. And I also gave you a packet of some feedback that's pretty much, I think it's all of 2017 and current 2018 feedback. Some of it isn't positive, but that's we review all of it. And another component of this partnership is after every diversion class, we all meet and debrief, and we talk about what went well, what could have improved, the feedback. We look at how to continually adapt and mold this program to really enrich and be an educational experience. Not only that, but another thing I wanted to just point out briefly is a few years ago, I was able to help to collaborate and start the first ever national John School Conference, and we had contact with over 37 programs nationally that we were able to identify. And of that, so many of the programs are 30-minute videos, hour videos, while they're in handcuffs in the back of a police car, or while they're in custody, detained, in handcuffs, a video, or it's a class, a couple of hours taught by, maybe a police officer or maybe a single lens. And one thing just to really celebrate again is in Portland, we have this fabulous, rich collaborative where we're able to have a survivor come in and speak at the end of the day to really bring together everything we teach. The police officers do a fabulous presentation. We have presentations from the therapeutic lens, a male community partner to kind of have that man-to-man kind of conversation. And we brought in Sexaholics Anonymous to reach out to any man who might identify that need. So we've really enriched this program. And having been able to get a greater national lens on that and help other programs enrich their program from what we do, I'm really proud of the work we get to do here with these sex buyers. You'll notice I won't say Johns because I like to call them what they are, sex buyers. That's my personal lens. And the other component, I think that I just wanted to also say this really helps us to focus on the demand. If we're going to end sex trafficking, we need to focus on the demand. And so I'm really proud to be able to partner with Portland Police and be able to put on this fabulous program. We, you know, I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but we invite you to come sit in one day if you would like. So thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. So I'm interested to hear you say there's a waiting list. My understanding is this program's paid for by those taking the class.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the limitation on adding more?
Space. So if we could probably have, 40, 50 people per class, but in that kind of discussion safe environment, that educational environment kind of is lost. I'm stepping back into this role a little over a month. I've been back. And so before we capped it because of actual physical space in the classroom, and now I think it's mostly because of space.
But is that because we couldn't put on more classes? Is it partly due to the officer's time and the survivor's time?
I think it's a little bit of all of that, of scheduling and also just the financial resource it takes to put this class on every second Saturday of the month.
And we actually did. We ran an extra class this last fiscal year, 2017. We added at least one, maybe two classes to the normal rotation just because of the demand.
Well, I'm glad that we're increasing or the agreement or continuing it, if there are things that we can do to help funding or looking at city facilities for physical spaces, please let me know.
Okay, thank you.
The other question I have is about recidivism. Do we have data on whether people who have taken this training are less likely to reoffend and get rearrested?
Yeah, did you want to?
Yeah, we talked about that leading up to this presentation, and we're only aware of one person who had been through the class who has then been rearrested.
So could I second that? Because I loved your testimony, by the way. It was fantastic testimony. But the only thing that made me cringe a little bit was to say that the success of this program is immeasurable. It's absolutely measurable. Yeah. And what you can do is you can screen for recidivism and compare that to the population at large. So I would hope that we would do that and make the case that this is actually a best practice that works.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's sort of the first thing, is just to underscore what Commissioner Fritz already raised. The second question is really more of one around, is this something that is now nationally done, or is this something unique to our community? What do you mentioned that you go to conferences and it seems like there's more of a punitive tone in some of the other programs. Why did we choose to go in a different direction?
So I know that I previously stepped out of this role in 2016 and then I came back. So there was one conference and it never got any claws in anything. And so probably not the best way to say that. But so I know that about a fourth of the programs that were there were just starting. They had never had a program. They were done basically solely through law enforcement or a survivor agency. And so it was a really siloed lens of how to approach this issue. So I would say that we're still really at the beginning nationally with approaching this. And I would say Portland is ahead of the game in regards to this. The diversion program, I believe we really do it the way we do so that we aren't just telling them you know, they're bad, but we're really getting to the why of the issue. We're educating them around the buyers and, you know, like that how, what, why. We really focus on the why. And it's not just, you know, them. It affects their relationships, their family, their friends, their, you know, we have a lot of data around that. And it also affects, you know, how they view the world. And it's, we really believe that the aversion component is important, addressing all these things.
Very good. And what happens if somebody, I assume this is voluntary. Is it voluntary, first of all?
Yes and no. It's
what happens if they don't?
If you're familiar with, like,
in
the court system, there's a DUI diversion program that
sure.
If you're a first offender, you have the opportunity to participate. Similar to that effect. Mm-hmm. If a person is, it's in general, a first-time arrested offense, they're offer this opportunity for a diversion program.
Is it the judge who offers it, or the DA?
Yeah, through the court process.
Through the court process.
Their defense attorney would, you know, negotiate this with the prosecution, and gets authorized by the judges in the court system. Say, okay, you have X number of months to complete this program, and then receive the certificate and come back to the courts and show that you were a successful.
And if not this, then what's the other track? What does that look like?
They're able to have a charge.
In addition to having the charge of commercial sexual solicitation, they would also have the financial responsibility of the conviction as well.
Got it. Okay.
So, and if I may get back to the just the programs, this program originated under, it was kind of modeled, the city of San Francisco had a sexual diversion program, and very similar in its functions and form, and kind of was the example that the city of Portland followed at that time. It really hasn't expanded beyond a lot with other programs being similar, although there's a lot of interest in it. I've had quite a bit of discussions with Washington County, as we've helped them in developing their sex trafficking program out there, and working with their district attorney's office, who's connected with Multnomah County's district attorney's office, in how this program is modeled and creating a diversion program in an adjoining county for the same type of a thing. I'm very interested in that. There's several other folks who have contacted me over the last course of a few months and said, what are you guys doing? How does this work? So I think it's a good model and something that the city can be proud of.
Very good. Excellent. Colleagues, any further questions?
Commissioner Saltzman? I guess I'm just curious, are the sex buyers primarily street-level solicitations, or do we see, are we going after online solicitations?
In today's generation, the majority of the purchasing of sex is done online, mm-hmm. or the relationship contacts developed online. There certainly is a level and element of street-level prostitution. That is not what this addresses particularly, although it could. But the majority of our efforts are to combat those that are done online through dating apps and text messaging and all that. So, yeah, the majority of our custodies are related to online.
So contacts. That is the majority now?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Great. Thanks.
It's a lot more secret than out on the street.
Yeah.
Very good. Is there anybody signed up for public testimony? How many people?
Yes, we have one person.
Very good.
Shedrick J. Wilkins.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And ladies.
Hi, I'm Shedrick Wilkins, and when I was in the Army, I was stationed in Germany, in which prostitution is legal. I understand it's legal also in Israel. I found I didn't like it. It's wrong. I do not think that prostitution should be legal in the United States. I think that in a diversion program, the people who are chiefly responsible for these are the people, what we would call the pimps or the mafia or whoever, or people setting up these online websites. They are responsible for prostitution. It's not the people who on a low level want it. It's the people that make it easy. It's the lawyers that defend people who are accused of being the sellers or sex buyers at setting things up. You get these people and put them in jail, and you can stop prostitution. Okay. And again, I think too that time is ripe where we're really kind of saying things like, "Well, Harvey Weinstein's not a pimp. Well, yes, he is, and even women who benefited from his ability to get them acting jobs, whether they did get jobs or didn't, they don't like the guy. And they didn't like being forced to stand in one spot while they were harassed because they wanted the money. Enough said.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Justice Watchdog. Again, just on my position that you have this diversion program, and in my opinion, without the actual data on recidivism, it's really difficult to have an understanding really how effective it is. And in my opinion, that if we're going kind of use the term a little bit easy on the perpetrators per se, that concerns me, is that in my opinion there should be an excessive fine that is a deterrent to people that possibly might be doing this, and I don't see that. I see a diversion plan go off to the side, and again, from my position, is that are these names of these people made public so people in the community can see that they have been charged with this? Is that put on any type of website? I know when you arrest individuals for other crimes, it's put on a website or that people are able to see their pictures. Is there that possibility that that is happening, or are you actually on this diversion program saying that we won't even post your picture with this being charged against you? And again, just from my position, when you're talking the being real, what I call easy on the per se buyers, is that on the quote victims, that fine should be going toward the victims, is my position, is that that sends a real clear message. And if you're just allowing people with kind of a go watch a video, feel free to go out the back door, we'll make sure your picture's not posted, have a good day, I don't think that's the right way to do it. So again, I'm looking at more harsh treatment, more you're a scumbag, okay? And you know, you got caught. That's your problem right now. That's why you're here, and we're going to make it very clear to you. There's going to be extensive fines. It's not going to be comfortable for you. You're going to be posted on websites. You're going to be known in your neighborhoods. And if you don't like that, then don't do it. That's my position. I think this is too soft. It's too easy. And I really hope that's not what the whole point of this diversion plan is. Again, more harsh treatment. That's my position. Thank you.
Thank you. Colleagues, any further questions? Please call the roll.
Fritz?
Well, thanks for another excellent presentation. And thanks, Sergeant Joff and Christian Williams, for your write-up in the impact statement, which says that LifeWorks retains 10% or $1,400 for each session conducted, whichever is greatest, as reimbursement for administrative and direct cost. And the remainder is split between Multnomah County District Attorney, the Portland Police Bureau, and LifeWorks. So I think all of those, and the Police Bureau uses their portion to fund further missions and investigations. So it's a wonderful program. Thanks, Officer Gallagher, for being here again and for educating me last time that part of the value of this is having the buyers in the room, both with the survivors and with each other, as was brought out. This has become a very much an online and anonymous thing, and by forcing people to be face-to-face with each other and with the survivors, that makes it much more real, and I appreciate that. Aye.
Bish.
Thank you for an excellent report. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you. Aye.
Udaly.
Thank you. Aye.
Wheeler.
I'd like to see us strengthen the measurement of the success of the program. I think you've given us very, very good anecdotal evidence, and the letter that we received, presumably, I believe you said from a young woman, is very compelling. The statements made by the folks who have participated in this program are compelling, but I'd also like to see us take the lead on measuring the success of this program and see if there really is an effective best practice here that could potentially help address this issue. I vote aye. The Ordinance is adopted. Commissioner Fritz?
Just add something onto that. I think I'd like next time you have the presentation, the data on the demographics of the people who choose this program versus the people, the overall arrest rate for this charge. Thank you.
Next item, 101.